Bass University. Here we are, day three at the Bassmaster Classic, 50th anniversary of the Bassmaster Classic. I am Pat Renwick, the Dean, Pete Glusick over here, and a guy that we are pretty stoked about bringing to you today, one of my personal crankbait heroes, bass fishing legend, Bassmaster Elite Series angler David Fritz is here right now.
Fritz.
Yes.
One of my favorites.
Yes, sir. Dave, welcome to the Bass University today.
Hey, I'm glad to be here, buddy.
Yeah, man. And like, I could guess you could say you're a pretty cranky guy, aren't you?
I say that most of the time.
Yeah.
Well, you've won this tournament before.
I have. I won in this building.
In this building?
Yeah.
What lake did you win on?
Logan Martin.
Logan Martin.
Yep.
Okay.
Logan Martin.
One of your faves, Pete.
And that was, what, 90?
93.
I was just going to say that, but I didn't have confidence.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember because I fished the Classic here in 97 at Logan Martin.
Yeah.
And we were all trying to do what you did in 93. We're like all trying to get offshore, trying to crank. And that's the way we all thought the tournament was going to be won, and Dion goes and steals it on the bank.
Yeah. Yeah, I think he beat me by 13 ounces in that one.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
You almost did it again.
Yeah, I was close.
Yeah. How is that? Winning the Classic is huge. That changed everything.
Well, it is. You know, it's sort of a game changer. And, you know, because look at the show, look how many people are watching it. It's just, the king event.
Sure is.
It's the king event. And to win a Classic is, with all the pressure and all the hype and all the media, it's a pretty good challenge.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is.
It certainly is. And hopefully I can live to 150 and maybe I'll get a chance to win.
I hear you, buddy.
It's going to take me that long to qualify.
It's only going to take two more years, Pete. You're on the two-year plan and you're back.
Yeah.
Motivate him, David. Motivate him.
Well, we have you here. I mean, you're the crankbait master. You revolutionized the way that we all fish a crankbait. And thank you for that. By the way, thank you for giving us that gift. And I had Fritz cranking rods over the years.
Oh, yeah.
And I learned how to do some things that you were trying to teach us how to do. And you've been with Bass University, and I appreciate that. But you came out with something that's really cool. We've all been, like, we all love to throw the balls to flat sides. I mean, I got turned onto it a decade ago, and I'm just catching them. I love that bait. I love the water column that it fishes and how well it catches fish. But you've been working with Berkeley. You came up with something pretty special.
Well, we have, Pete, and we have a lot of special baits. They just haven't been found out yet, I promise you. We have a lot of special ones. But, yeah, the Fritz side, you know, it's already won three major tournaments. And it's one of those things where, you know, we took the wooden baits. And actually, I won the Classic partly with a flat-sided bait. So I know all about them. I know what they need to do. And we just really made an improved version, and we've got a standout, standalone bait. And I think that's the big deal because, you know, most crankbaits do this. This one does this. So it's totally different. Fish hadn't seen it. And when a fish bites it, it's just ferocious. I mean, most of the time they've got it way down in their mouth. It's phenomenal.
It's pretty crazy
how fish bite these. And you ain't even got to hit any cover. Just throw it out there and wind it back. I mean, it's crazy. It is.
There really is something about this Fritz side. He's not just saying that. I've experienced it. It's a very special, I'd say special is a good word for this.
John Cox, who has probably weighed in five fish on a crankbait in his entire career, just won a major tournament.
I'm taking credit for that, by the way. Yeah. I've been on him about that.
Yeah, he told me. I talked to him when we was in Florida, and he said, man, so I ain't never thrown a crankbait. And he was out with the Berkeley guys on Lake Murray, and I don't know, they caught six bass over 7 pounds, and Bobby Lane was there, and a few of them were there, and they were just – and, you know, fish come out of 20 feet of water and get them. And that's how special this bait is. And he got his confidence in a little bit, and I think he decided to throw it. So, you know, who knows? He may catch a big bag today. You know, you got to throw it to catch him with it.
Right, right. Well, he probably is throwing it. Yeah, I actually picked him to win the Classic. I'm like, man, John learned how to throw a crankbait. I'm picking him.
A little dangerous now.
Well, you said, now, is that the deal, right? The flat sides go like this. Is that why a flat side is so effective?
Well, most of them don't go like that. Ours actually turns 3/4 of an inch this way and 3/4 of an inch that way. So when you see this thing, it's really just doing this right here. And there, no other flat side would do that. You know, the bait that I won on was actually in the Classic in 93 was a Steve Blazer plug. And it's a bait like this. And I said, you know what? This is a really good crankbait, but I think I can make it better. And I think we have made it better. So it's not all crankbaits are equal. The good thing about plastic, you know, we put some weight, and actually, where's my clear one at? I don't know, right here. And you can see where the weights are. And when you move all the weight down, because everybody else's crankbait's got weight in the middle, or no weight, like a balsa. But the problem with balsa is you can't throw it, especially a flat side. I mean, you're throwing it 20, 25 yards, where this, you can chunk out there 40 yards. Easy. So another bonus, because people like to fish with stuff that they can cast well.
Mm-hmm.
And especially things that cast well and catches a lot of fish.
Yeah, yeah.
and they're real consistent. In the olden days, you know, you had to have 15, 20 to get one that was pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
And what I found out about these is you got to work hard to find one that ain't good.
Nice.
So that's what makes this bait so spectacular is you go right there and buy one off the shelf and, you know, more than likely it's going to catch all you want to catch or close to it anyway.
Nice. Well, you talked about throwing it, casting it. Balsas are harder, right? You sometimes have to use spinning rods. You weighted this so you can cast it. What rods are you throwing? And I want to get into your gear because last time you blew my hair back with you changed your fishing line over to braid in a lot of situations, and that was just what? You know, that's shocking because most of us are cranking with fluorocarbon, and that's how most of us are doing it. But tell me about your tools. What are you fishing these baits with?
Well, I'm still using a Lewis cranking rod. I got one that's got my name on it, and it's been around since 1989. Mm. We've got it lighter, but the actions are still the same. And actually, it used to be 100% glass, and now it's only 92% glass because we had to stiffen the middle up for all these Bubba baits that's coming out. So, and it helps. It helps. It really does. But yet, it's still got that good slow action that glass rods have. And Lewis makes that with a BB1 reel, and I think I told y'all about that the last time, about the multi-stop. It ain't got infinite and reverse. So you want to be a better crankbait fisherman, that's the ultimate reel, just because you can feel your bait better with it.
And you've gone to braid.
And I've been fishing braid along with mono.
Okay.
I fish Sensation, Berkeley Sensation, which is a really good low-stretch line. Most copolymers will work. Fluorocarbon, no. Fluorocarbon cost me from winning my second FLW championship. So
tell me why.
No more fluorocarbon.
What happened? Why do you blame fluorocarbon? How did that affect your fishing?
Well, fluorocarbon gets stressed out. I mean, it's pretty good fishing it for 3 or 4 hours.
Mm-hmm.
But then once you get past that, because you're throwing so hard and that line is stretching like a rubber band, it starts getting brittle. And you actually can actually throw it at lunchtime. I can throw it and break it. So it's sort of what, you know, it's like getting a shaky head hung up and you break it and then you get it hung up again and you break it. Well, the third time it's like, man, this is breaking awful easy, and this keeps getting easier and easier and easier. Well, it's the same thing with a crankbait. It's just stretching your line. Now, you know, fluorocarbon is great for plastics, but you don't really need fluoro. Because fish aren't looking at your line. They're looking at that bait right there. And it's just, man, it cost me in a big, big way. So
they broke off?
What happened? I ended up breaking like 2 or 3 really big ones off.
Oh.
And I never break line. And that was back during the Strand era. But it didn't matter. I tried some different brands of fluoro. They all do the same thing.
Right.
So just be aware that if you are set on throwing fluoro, make sure you cut about this much of your line off about every hour.
Keep it fresh.
Maybe more. because that line does get stretched, and when you're winding it, you got tension on it. Mm-hmm. It ain't like pulling a shaky head or a worm. Right, right. There's no tension. So you got nothing to stretch the line. But when you're throwing a crankbait, especially a big one, it stretches your line.
What pound test of the sensation are you using?
10-pound test.
10-pound the majority of the time?
Yep. And the braid's the same way. Yeah, I use 10-pound test diameter. And everybody's buying 10-pound test braid and throwing it, and they can't throw it because it jams up in their spool. So, you know, you're using 10-pound test diameter. It's probably 40-pound test braid.
Right, gotcha.
Like the X5, you know. But you want that 10. You want it big enough that it's not going to jam up in your spool.
Now, do you throw with the X5 or the X9? Do you like the multi-strands?
I like both of them, but I think I'm a little bit more partial to the 5. It's a 5-strand. The X9 is a 9-strand. So the strands are just a little bit bigger, and I found that throwing a crankbait is probably a little bit better.
Okay. For manageability and casting?
Yep, okay. Just for not jamming up in your spool.
Gotcha.
So.
And that, I mean, that's light line too. Pete, do you crank with 10? Is 10 like your?
Yeah, you know, I'm a 10, 12, but I, you know, like I said, I'm a fluoro guy, so when I lose my next 6-pounder at the boat because he breaks off, I'm going to be pissed that I didn't listen to Dave.
Plus, fluoro is like this. You put it in your hand, and I swear you can move it a quarter of the length of what you got in your hand.
Yeah.
It's got just so much stretch. But, you know, a lot of people, then that's a big question, what pound test do you use? And you got to realize this, and this is one of my favorite cutters, by the way. But
yes, sir.
You know your bait is doing this. Well, you got to realize your line's doing that too. And that line, the bigger it gets, slows that down. Mm-hmm. So your bait is actually not – it just doesn't have as good action as it does with light line, and it makes the action, it brings it out to its fullest.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Now, like, for example, I've been throwing this bait on 12-pound fluoro. I know, don't hate me, Dave.
Well, that's fine, but if you throw 10, you'll catch more with it.
And I know Cox was using 15.
Yeah.
Now, there's a whole variance there. You're down here at 10.
Yeah.
And then John Cox all the way up at 15. But I think it kind of shows you that historically, if you were not using light line on a flat side bait, you were not getting anything out of it.
Yeah.
Anything out of it. But I think that shows the versatility, too, as far as design matter.
Well, it does. And you know, he was in a situation where he's fishing with over a bunch of grass. And sometimes you got no choice.
Keep it up.
You got no choice. And that's just the way it is. But if you're on, I don't know, you're on Pickwick Lake Gunnersville and you're fishing it around and you're not around any grass, then, yeah, you're definitely going to get two or three more bites with 10-pound
test.
With
the 10. Is this just a cold water bait? I mean, obviously you won the classic on it when it wasn't.
No, it's really good in cold water, and it's really good in hot water. Like in the middle of the summer, and the fish usually come up a little bit. And I know when I won the classic, the water temperature was 92 to 93 degrees. The water temperature.
That's right.
It was so hot, you just sat there. Man, it was worse than being in the sauna. It was like, man alive. But, you know, the fish come up a little bit, but then it's about how that bait reflects around cover. And that's what makes it a big key. You know, our 7s and our 9s have a octangular lip. Some people call them coffin lips, a four-cornered lip. But it's just like fishing a square lip. But the bonus is when you hit a stump right there with a side, the little flat side right there, then you get a big-time deflector.
Yes, sir.
And so it deflects off of objects totally different. You know, round lip bait's the most popular because they're the easiest ones to fish. They don't hang up as bad because when it hits something, it just turns and goes around it. This actually has to hit, sort of like a square lip, has to hit back up, turn, and go. And the same thing with these. This hasn't got the octangular lip, but it's the same way. I did put a touch of roundness in it just because, you know, you're going to be fishing this thing around a lot of heavy cover, and you need a little bit to get around that.
Okay.
And then another thing we sort of built into these baits, and by the way, this bait right here has been sold out for 2 months. That color is crazy. But we make the bait, the hooks run behind it, right behind it. So the lip is going to hit whatever's out there first, and usually the bait will trip, will tumble. And that's another thing that's unique to this bait, is that a lot of times when you hit something, they sort of want to dart and go one way or the other.
Yeah.
A lot of times this bait will trip. It sort of does that. And then when you catch up with it, there's something about that action
triggers the bait.
Do you think of all this? Like, is this from your mind, all of that?
Oh, yeah.
That is amazing.
And a lot of work. Year and a half's work right here.
I mean, is there a second of the day or maybe say it, that you don't think about crankbaits?
No, not really. Not really.
What was that design process like? Like you said, a year and a half. Are you going through prototypes? You got to go up to the shop, testing in the tanks?
Well, you know, in Spirit Lake, Iowa, they probably got a testing facility, bar none. It's one of those places where, man, you can see everything that bait has got. We can actually film it and tell when we change it. But the big thing, I guess, with you know, starting to build these baits, and you'll notice the 9 is actually thinner than the 7. So, each and the 5, they're all individual baits.
Mm-hmm.
They're not the same bait. Yep. Every one is designed differently because when you get down there in 10 feet deep, you need your water to scoop. You need it to do this instead of this. So, everyone sort of got their own unique deal, and they've been a ton of tournaments already won on the 7. And that's because, you know, the fish are 8 feet or less. So,
that's awesome. I like how you put the lead in the bottom, too, kind of like the old balsa baits.
What this does is we were able to figure out how to make this bait fish like a solid bait, whether it be solid wood, whether it be some type of material. But it fishes, I mean, if I had one of these off the ring, you can sit there and you can do this, and you're thinking, oh, my God. I mean, this thing is solid as a rock. And that's what makes it good. I mean, it's a solid feeling bait. And actually, I don't know that it's not better than wood. And, you know, I've been a wood lover for all my life.
Absolutely.
But when we done that right there, we broke the mold because this is totally off the charts. Nobody's ever done anything. You know, when we used to weight the old Poe's and some of them baits, you know, we'd drill a hole right here. But by using the double weight system with these baits, then we got our action back even better. So everything sort of got a little roll. You can see there's nothing in that thing. There's two discs in front of the hook hanger and behind the hook hanger, and they don't move. Mm-hmm. They don't move. So and the plastic is thick, so we have that good solid feel. And, you know, it's fun to throw. It ain't like – you know, a flat side, you can't throw it in the wind anyway.
Right.
But that right there, you can throw.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
These are, I'm looking inside there. They're silent baits.
Oh, yeah. They're silent.
No rattles.
No rattles.
On purpose.
On purpose.
Why? Why silent?
Well, you never make everybody happy. on Facebook, people are messaging me and say, man, when are you going to make these things rattle?
And I'm thinking, you don't need to rattle in them.
As good as they're working right now and catch them, why in the world would you want to rattle?
It ain't broke.
But there is times rattles are real good. Mm-hmm. And most of our other baits do have rattles. Baits make noise. It don't matter if it's got a rattle or not. You got hook hangers here, and those things are going back and forth. You probably actually get a little bit of noise off of this with it going, especially with these that are turning 3/4 inch, because that's doing a lot of little movement
clacking
right there. So you get actually a lot more sound than you think. But our goal with this right here was to make a plastic wooden bait.
And you did it.
And we did.
You knocked it out.
And we did.
Describe your feeling to me to everyone here watching when you were in Spirit Lake and you saw that thing going through the tank, David Fritz, and you were like, "My baby has arrived."
Yeah.
What's the feeling? What's your feeling?
Well, I tell you what. I was on Lake Eufaula last week practicing, and I hadn't thrown the 5 a whole lot because when I was testing, the 9 was the first one we made. And I went to Lake Hartwell, and I caught 7 bass over 8 pounds with it. And I'm thinking, you know what? This is insane. And every one of them had it sucked in. And then I threw that 5. The second cast I made on Lake Eufaula, I catch one that's almost 8 pounds, 7 3/4. Then I make about 3 more casts, and I catch one that's almost 7 pounds. So, I thought, you know what? This is a good life.
Yeah. You got the bait you made
rewarding.
The plastic wood bait.
Well, it's so much fun to be over in the booth, and you know, they're sold out. So everybody's wanting them, and it's, man, I mean, it's like the Fritz side is a common name in the fishing industry now.
Yes,
so,
sir.
And it's special, and we do have a lot of good baits, and we've got a lot of good baits getting ready to come out. We're actually going to I made another one last year, and we're going to call it the Biggie, the Fritz side Biggie.
Okay.
And it's actually this size bait, that same bait, but it's got a short lip in it. And I thought it was the best one. But Berkeley says, we can't come out with but three. And I tried to get them to come out with that. And they said, no, we're going to come out with a smaller one. So
it's basically got the same lip as the
five.
Yeah,
it's just like this, but it's that size.
I got you. Okay.
So, this is going to get the old killer, the old B3 and B4 business. And,
yes, sir.
And I never will forget, I tied one on, and we was at up in the North Carolina mountains, Georgia mountains. And I said, Bobby, throw this. Tell me what you think. He said, my God, that's the best crankbait I ever had tied on. So, and that makes you feel sort of good, too. And that's what makes you work hard. And you know, this process of crankbaits ain't just come out. You know, it's not just making something and putting it out there. It's making something, see how it works, making something. And you keep striving to make it better. And I always give my baits 2 weeks after I think it's as good as it can be, just to see if I can do it. And that's how that one got narrow. That's how that one got thin. Because when we thinned it up, it really made that bait scoot, like this right here. So, and it really tightened it up. And you know, there's no flat bait. Even the wooden baits are, I have seen some that thin, but there's very, very few that thin. And you can never throw them. You can't throw a wooden bait that thin.
No question. And the colors are amazing, too.
These three, especially.
Yeah. We have the best colors of anybody out there. I don't care what anybody says. The Honey Shad, Mike Russell and I worked on this color for 2 solid days. And this is actually an old eggshell Bagley color, 1974. But then we put some gold on it instead of the gray.
I saw what you did.
I think that. And then we got one, you know, one of my shows that I'm sort of a Western guy, and I like Gunsmoke, and I like the Long Ranger. So that's the Long Ranger. And that's one that won on. You know, that one also in the rubber tail, you know, that's the one we won the gold medal, that color. But that is probably the best big fish color made, period.
That brim?
Period. But it can be a tilapia,
sure.
Looks like it. It can be actually
a perch.
Yeah. But that, and it's not necessarily the color that catches the most, but I promise you, if you get around a big fish, he will swallow this rubber tail brim.
Tell me about these two. I know those two are special.
Oh, yeah. Well, this sort of goes along with the honey shad. The honey shad is these two colors right here can be good anywhere you go fishing at any time of the year. And that's the only two colors that'll do that because everything else is sort of seasonal. The carp color. I probably won more money on this cutter than any. Actually, we call it the cream pie.
Yes, sir.
Because I make these oatmeal cream pies, so that's what they named it. But when the water turns over in the fall, you better be throwing that cutter right there.
It's like that old CW Bagley, remember?
Yeah, yep.
Yes,
there's,
sir.
There's no comparison to that cutter right there in the fall. Most of the time, you're going to get beat if somebody's throwing that particular cutter. So, you know, we got a story about all of them, and we have, and I got to brag, we have got, and we're coming out with 5 new colors next year, we have got some of the best colors. Actually, we're sort of leading the way right now. People are sort of looking at us and trying to paint baits to match some of our baits.
I can see why.
Yep.
Yeah, because we have it, a lot of it is old colors that sort of revived a little bit. Mm-hmm. To make them attractive to fishermen, because you know fishermen want something
like the
to
Bubba,
shine.
Like that old Homer or Bubba there.
Yeah, well, that's something like this. You know, we have that's the original color.
Yeah,
it ain't like
that's you.
Everything gets keeps getting brighter and brighter. Look at that. There ain't nothing shiny about that. Mm-hmm. But this becomes a shad when you put it in the water.
That's right.
You don't need the yellow. Is just the water tones it. So. Yeah, this is a fantastic color. Actually, it's already been proven because there's already been a tournament one on it. So,
hey, no disputes.
Dave, I appreciate you coming and teaching us, showing these back. Everybody can see how excited you are about it, and rightfully so. They're amazing. They've already won big tournaments, and I appreciate you showing tools that the guys watching this have no chance of getting because they're all sold out.
unless you can find them at a show. I think they had 200 and some to start with, and there's probably not 20 on the rack.
Is that right?
That's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, man, alive. And my Facebook has gone crazy about. And one guy from Texas called me and said, I need 50 of these.
He's demanding them from
David Fritz. I said, well, good luck, buddy. And I called a friend of mine there in North Carolina, and I said, well, I found you 9, and he ended up calling them and got those 9, and then he ended up buying 50 different colors. But, it's crazy.
That's awesome.
I was in the pose boom back in the day, and I told them guys at Berkeley, I have never seen anything like this bait. To explode like it has, and to just be a no-brainer. Just tie it on, throw it out, and you get around a big fish, he's going to bite it.
That's awesome, right?
It's just a no-brainer.
Yep. Well, it's doing. It's flying off the shelf. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Thank you. Right. Thank you for coming and sharing with us again this year. Really appreciate it. And, guys, we are going to be back with more some of the greatest anglers in the world, like this guy.
Wow.
Talking about amazing tools that really help you catch fish. That's Pat Renwick. That's David Fritz. I'm Pete Kluzek. We'll be back with more Bass U TV.